All right. So, so just like a quick prefatory mark on the Chazarish here. First of all, I hope everyone got the outline again. Did anyone not get it? Okay. So just a prefatory mark about the Chazarish here this time. So usually, like what I've done in the past, I like to like lay out the bigger issues and questions and like kind of set the framework and then fit in like the shittos and applications in there. But this time it's going to be done a little differently. I should just note because this is like a part two, as you can see from the title. And we're just trying to really tie it together like some loose ends from the sugya. And I think it would kind of be like a little unnecessary and it would probably take a lot of extra time to like reintroduce all the like all the points from the original framework. And also like these shittos in particular that we're going to focus on. So they touch on like a bunch of like the bigger issues. So this time I'm mainly just going to focus on like kind of laying out the shittos that we did. And then throughout, I'm going to connect them to the more specific like conceptual points and connect it to like the larger framework that we have built previously, but like to get like the better organization of like the entire sugya. So it's probably shayach to like listen back to last Chazarish here, look at that outline, etc. Okay, so just a couple of framing questions that we laid out last time. Also, I'm going to try and finish hopefully by 2:30. It's going to be a little shorter. So I hope to be done by the 2:30 mincha. Otherwise, I guess we'll just dive in here. Hopefully, we'll be ready. Okay, so just to lay out a couple of the framing questions that we spoke about last time. So number one, what is the issue of mipiyam v'lo mipi ksavam? Right, we know we have this psul that on a basic level just tells us that an elaim cannot testify through ksav. So the question is it just that? It's just limited to an elaim? Or do we say that edus b'ksav is never effective? So we laid out that Rabbeinu Tam thinks the latter. Thinks the former. Rabbeinu Tam thinks that mipiyam is limited to just an elaim, but you can always have edus b'ksav. But most, we noted, argue on Rabbeinu Tam, and most assume that that Eidus B'Ksav never works. Doesn't matter if you're an Elaim or a Bar Agada, Eidus B'Ksav is always ineffective. So then the big question is, for Rabbeinu Tam, so how do Shtaros ever work? Because if indeed we say that Eidus B'Ksav is never effective, so how do we have this Chiddush called a Shtar? Maybe we can say that it's a separate category. That's the idea that we developed, which I'll get to again shortly. The idea that Shtar would probably work as a separate category. So how does that work? And then based off this analysis, so again, how does shtar work more generally based off what we see from the sugya of mipiyam, how shtar ends up working? Okay, so how does shtar ever work to begin with, right? That's the question that we focused on a lot last time, if you don't hold the Rabbeinu Tam. So we laid out that shtar really should be a different category than classic edus, and that could be explained primarily in one of two ways. So one way is the shita of the nesivos, and one way is the shita of the grach in several places. The Grach in Hilchos Eidos, the Grach in Hilchos Gerushin, a few points that we have Mipia Shmua. So we have two Mahalachim, broadly speaking. The first Mahalach of the Nesivos, again, just to kind of review a little bit. So the Nesivos thinks that the way Shtar works is through an Anan Sadi. That Shtar is a completely separate category from Eidos. It's completely separate, at least from the Eidim, the Gavr Eidim. The only thing that the Eidim do when it comes to a Shtar is they testify about the Tzivay HaBaal, the Das Mischayev, the fact that the Baal, the Mischayev gave authority and permission to write the Shtar. But once that happens, so then we say that there's Nanan Sadi. Once the Shtar ends up in the hands of the Baal Shtar, we have this Nanan Sadi, this narrative that, oh, well, if it's in the hands of the Baal Shtar, so then Mistama, we can assume that whatever's written in the Shtar is accurate and that the Shtar was given over and that the loan happened, that the Gerushin happened, etc. Sorry, not that the loan happened, that let's say the Gerushin happened or a Kedushin happened. So that's the Mahalach of the Nesivos, and then the Mahalach of Rav Chaim, right, again, is that the way Rosenzweig likes to explain it is that we have Das Mischayev, which is kind of generating this koach for the Baal Toves HaShtar to basically have this blank check and this ability to read in Chefza Shel Eidos into the Shtar, whatever plausible narrative he would like. Again, not working through regular Eidos that's normally done through Gavra Eidim, but rather a completely new category called Eidos Shebishtar, Chefza Shel Shtar, Chefza Shel Eidos. To use the more formal, brisk terminology. Okay, so, and where do those ideas come from in the Rishonim? So, we laid out that a lot of it has to do with the point that's brought up by Rashi and Gittin on Daf Ayin Aleph, where Rashi points out the phenomenon that Shtar could basically be written and signed by the Eidim even before the event ever takes place, and we noted that that could be explained with either Mahalach of the Nesivos or of Chaim, that at the end of the day, the Eidim aren't actually witnessing the Maisa Kenyan itself, but rather again, either for the Nesivos, there's like some general Anasadi, or for Rav Chaim, we have this idea of like the blank check generated through Das Mischayev. And those touched on that idea in Rashi, but even more so in the Rishonim, specifically the idea of Rav Chaim, Das Mischayev, and the blank check. So that is actually very very based off the Baal HaMor and the Ramban. And that very discussion of the Baal HaMor and the Ramban actually ties back to a broader discussion when they try and attempt to understand the Shita of the Rif in Yevamos. So that's what we're going to focus on primarily today. So that was just kind of like background, just refreshing our memory to transition into the Shita of the Rif, where a lot of this actually comes from to begin with. Okay, so let's lay out the basic Shita of the Rif. The basic Shita of the Rif is going on the Gemara in Yevamos on Daf Lamed Aleph. So what does that Gemara say? So the Gemara basically says that Chazal were not metakein zman for Shtar Kedushin. Essentially, one of the reasons it gives is essentially because it's not going to be effective. There's no point in instituting zman for a Shtar Kedushin, because after all, how is that going to work? If it's in the hands of the woman or the man, so we assume that they're going to change the zman for their own benefit, whatever that benefit is. And here's the kicker, and if it's the hands of the Edim, and they're the ones holding on to it, so then what's going to happen? They're going to end up having cases where maybe they forget about the Edos, and then somehow they're going to utilize this Shtar, and that is going to be a violation of EPM, Vlomi Pik Sabam. And the Rif basically assumes from this Gemara, it's not 100% clear that this was true from the Gemara itself, but the Rif assumes based on this Gemara that you can never use a Shtar that you signed on, you can never even be Mekayim your own Shtar with your own signatures, to prove to Beis Din what the Zman Kedushin was. Apparently, says the Rif, that violates Mipiyam V'loim Pik Savam when you're using the Shtar or being Mekayim the Shtar. So asks the Rif, basically along the same lines of the question everybody's been asking, specifically the Rambam, so how can a Shtar, specifically the way the Rif says it, Kiyam Shtaros, ever work? How can a Shtar ever work as a Raya that something happened? And we know that there's a Mishnah in Ksubis which explicitly says that you could do Kiyam Shtaros on even other people's signatures. So why would this Gemara tell us that because of EPM, you can't be Mekayim a Shtar with your own signatures? So it's a massive stira. And we noted that the Rif actually focuses the question on Kiyam Shtaros. He doesn't focus on the existence of Shtar working on its own. And everyone's like thought that that could perhaps be because the Rif, unlike the Rambam, because it'd be harder to say this for the Rambam, but for the Rif, it's possible to say that he thinks that Shtar, in general, actually doesn't really necessarily work. It only works in the cases of Gerushin and Gittin and Shtar Shichror, Mitzad the Kinyan Shibo. Maybe it only works to affect a Chalos Kinyan, but who says that Shtar ever works as a Raya? So therefore, the Rif asks from Kiyam Shtaros, because Kiyam Shtaros is an explicit Raya, or I shouldn't say the word Raya, is a clear indicator that Shtar could work as a Raya. Edom can come and quote, or not quote, but they can verify, be Mekayim, a Shtar with someone else's signatures, and say, hey, use this Shtar now as a Raya for something. So the Rif asks this question, how can we ever be Mekayim, a Shtar, to be used as a Raya if this Gemara Yevamos has a violate EPM, Vloim Pik Sabam? And his answer essentially is that there's this massive chilik between the Shtar, or whatever's written in this piece of paper. There's a massive difference between the piece of paper being Biyad Edim and Biyad Baal Edim. To quote a good lashon from the answer of the Rif, it's on the outline. So he says that Shtara denafik me tuti yadi de Baal Din, lo amrinan me mipiam v'lo mipik savamu, dami idna chasima b'shtara v'yavi le lamare, lo yach li lamei halderbu v'avlo kamishnach reduson be'bez din. Says the Rif, once we have this piece of paper in the hands of the Baal Edinim, then we could say that there's no more problem of EPM Vlomi Pik Savam. And the problem that the Rif highlights and accentuates in this formulation is he says, Lo Yachli Lame Hadar Behu. So it seems like there's an emphasis on the fact that now the Edim cannot go back, whatever that means. Okay, so just to analyze the Rif a little bit, so we could ask a few questions. The most basic question you could ask on the Shita of the Rif, which is what the Rishonim are dealing with in a direct sense, what's pshat of the Rif? What's even the case of the Rif? The pashas of the Rif seems to be that it's a problem for the Shtar, in this case, the Shtar Kedushin, to be left in the hands of the Edim. And the problem is that it was never given over to the hands of the woman, the Baal Shtar, the Baal Tovei Shtar, in this case, the woman. And seemingly it was never given over to her, and it remains in the hands of the Edim, and that's a problem. if it had been given over to the woman, now was biyad baldin, so now there wouldn't be a mipiyam problem anymore. Question is that really pshat in the Rif? That pshat seems to be assuming that the critical moment of shtar is the mesira labaldin, and not the chasima itself. It sounds like we're very focused on the fact there needs to be a mesira labaldin, and that's like the critical moment. So is that really pshat? We'll get to that in a second with the Raiva. So that's like kind of the basic question of the Rif. Like, what's he even talking about? What's the case? A more fundamental question on the Rif is like, what's the Rif svara, and like, really, what is his shita? So if Rosenzweig like, you have to ask him this question, which is, when the Rif emphasizes the chilek between Yad Edim and Yad Baldin, so is the requirement that the piece of paper just needs to be out of the Edim's hands, or is the requirement that the piece of paper needs to actually end up in the hands of the Baldin? Nafkamina obviously being a shlish, right? Like if the piece of paper is out of the hands of the Edim, but it's in the hands of a third party, but not necessarily in the hands of the Baldin, so what's the deal in that case? Because it's out of the hands of the Edim, but again, it's not in the hands of the Baldin. So that is an obvious nafkamina. Now, he kept repeating this question, but like, who cares? Like, why is that so important? Like, that's a cute nafkamina, but if it's biyad shlish, but like, why is that so relevant? So I think it's very relevant because it goes to the core of what the Rif really thinks about Mipiyam v'lo mipi ksavam, and like how this piece of paper can really work. Because there's two ways to really view the Rif, or to explain the Rif really, like conceptually and in Svara. One way to understand the Rif is that this is kind of all working within the camp of Eidos, right? We're all still within the camp of Eidos. We don't necessarily know about any new category called Shtar. This is all working within the world of Eidos. And in fact, maybe the Rif holds that Eidos Biksav, written Eidos, somewhat along the lines of Rebbeinu Tam, Eidos Biksav is actually effective so long as it's in the right hands. Right, so we don't necessarily need to jump to the category, a new category called Shtar. No, Eidos Biksav actually is fine. BPM just tells you that it's a problem when it's still Biyad Edim. But if it's in the right hands, so then it will be fine. It won't violate BPM anymore. Right? That's not called Piksava. And if you're going to take that option, so then you're more likely to just need to have the requirement that it just needs to be out of the Edim's hands. Right? Because the whole Chisaron is that Eidos, we're saying that Eidos Biksav really can work. It just can't work when it's in the hands of the Edim. Likely, and we had a bunch of different formulations of this, likely because the point is that for Eidos to really take off as real Eidos, it can't be suppressible anymore, right? It can't be something that's in the hands of the Edim when the Edim could, they don't even need to necessarily give that testimony to Beis Din, right? And they could change it. They never need to give it in. So that's not called Eidos if it's not something that's definitive, right? It needs to be independent from them. If it's still completely tied to them, that's just not called Eidos. So once you say that, so then you're going to more focus on the fact that it's a problem for it to remain in their hands. The second it leaves their hands, it's fine. That's a one option within the Rif. And another option within the Rif is this bigger idea that we've been developing and that the Rishonim seem to say here. And that is that there's actually a new category called Shtar. We're breaking out of the world of Eidos. We're now in the world of Shtar. And that would mean that Mipiyam v'lo mipi ksavam is always an issue no matter what. Eidos Biksav, right? Totally against Rabbeinu Tam. Eidos Biksav is always ineffective, no matter whose hands it's in. The point is that when this piece of paper ends up in the hands of the Baal Din, it's no longer viewed as Eidos. It's now taken on a life of its own. It's now this new category called Shtar. And according to that, it's not mochach, you don't need to say this, but it's certainly possible that you would require the piece of paper, the Shtar, to actually be in the hands of the Baal Din, the Baal Davar. And we'll get to really why that is in a second when we quote the Ramban. But you would potentially go in that direction. It needs to be a shtar, biyad bala shtar. Okay, so that is laying out like the framework a little bit for understanding the Rif and like the bigger issues that the Rishonim are dealing with. Again, like what's pshat in the Rif and like what's really the svara in the shita of the Rif. Okay, so now let's go into some shitos in the Rif. So there are a bunch of pshatim given for the Rif. I want to lay out actually like I think five of them in total. We have like five pshatim I think that could be given up for the Rif. I'd say like one or two of them kind of like overlap with each other, and I'll explain what I mean. But I think overall, they're like across the Rishonim and Achronim, we come out with like five shitos in how to understand the Rif, or really to how to understand this chilek between Yad Edim and Yad Baldin. So the first understanding is just, I think, pashut pshat in the Rif, right? Complete pashas, which I noted before, and that is that if it is still in the hands of the Edim and it's never been given over to the woman, to the Baal Din, then that is completely ineffective. There's only been a chasima, there has not been a mesira b'chla. So who thinks this? So the Ravid thinks this. The Ravid thinks that that is indeed pshat on the Rif, Pashtus, the Beis Yosef, seems to think that's Pshat in the Rif. That it's all about the fact that a Mesira has not been done to give this piece of paper over to the woman. And that would have, obviously, a massive implication, as the Ravid and the Beis Yosef / Shulchan Aruch bring out. So the way the Ravid says it, so let's say the Edim end up giving the Shtar to the woman, but they forget about the Eidos by the time the Shtar reaches the hands of the woman. So that seemingly would be a problem for the Rif. Similarly, if at the time that they signed it, they were fine, they were totally kosher Edim, they were Rechokim, but then by the time the Nasira happened, they become Kruvim. Let's say the guy, you know, he becomes a son-in-law, he marries into the family. So then if that is the case, by the time Shas Mesira hits, it would be a problem, because the critical moment is Shas Mesira. So with that first pshat, that basic understanding of the Rif, so there are two issues raised by the Rishonim, one by the Ravid himself. The Ravid thinks that this is pshat on the Rif, but he argues on the Rif. He just says, lo yitachin. It can't possibly be that the Edim needs to remember the Edus by the time Shas Mesira hits, because, says the Ravid, I don't know, this seems to be an assumption or an observation, he's saying, ma'asim b'chol yom, or seemingly we have all the time, in many cases, where shtaros work, even though the Edim forgot the Edus by the time the shtar reached the hands of the Baal Din. Sometimes you have shtaros which are written and signed, but they remain in the hands of the Edim for 10 years, and then they're given over to the Baal Din, so the Edim forgot about it already. So that's one issue with this idea. And a second issue raised by the Ramban, and that is that the Ramban says, he argues on this pshat so much he thinks it can't even be pshat on the Rif. He says it doesn't make sense. The Rif would never say this. Why? Because in the context of the Gemara here, it doesn't make any sense. Because the whole context of the Gemara here is talking about a Shtar Kedushin, which is used for Kedushin. So of course there would be no conversation about the Shtar Kedushin before it was given to the woman. The whole point is that we call it a Shtar Kedushin, and it is a Shtar Kedushin, because it was already given over to her, and then it was just given back to the Edim. So therefore, he just says, it can't be that this is Pshat on the Rif, because it doesn't make sense in the whole case of the Gemara. Okay, so that's, again, one explanation of the Rif. Pashup Pshat on the Rif. Okay, so that's one explanation. The second explanation is what the Ravid has as his own Pshat. Again, the Ravid thinks that what we just said actually is Pshat in the Rif, but the Ravid goes on and says his own Pshat. The Ravid says that no, of course in this case, the way I understand the Gemara, of course the Shtar was already given over to the woman. It's not like it remains in the hands of the Edim. No, of course it was given over to the woman, and then it was given back to the Edim. So then that obviously begs the question, if that's really the case that's going on here, so then what's the problem? Why would it be a problem to be Biyad Edim? If it was already given over to the woman. So explains the Ravid, because it's still not Ra'i Lemesira. And what he means by that is, it's not Ra'i to remain in the woman's hands. And the Ravid's Chiddush is that if you have a shtar that's not meant to remain in the woman's hands, so then that's ineffective. Now, the Ravid does not necessarily say anything about Das Mishkayev, right? This is the Rosak note at this point, it's important to keep in mind that you don't want to be biased based off the Ramban and your broader understanding of how Shtar works. It doesn't say anything about Das Mishkayev. It could be working based off Das Mishkayev, but if you just read the Ravid simply, all he says is that Roy Lemesira, it being Roy to be in the hands of the Baal Din, the woman, is a crucial Tanai and component to the Shtar, not necessarily because that's how Shtar, like, that's the core nature of Shtar, but just because maybe Shtaros need to be something that could be in the hands of the Baal Din. After all, Shtaros are meant to assist and help Baal Din, so if it can't be in the hands of the Baal Din, and we're concerned about that, so then that just won't work as a Shtar. Okay, so that's the Ravid's own pshat. So he's accentuating the fact that Roy Lemesira is crucial for the Shtar to be effective.
When you say effective, you mean not medium?
Yes. Correct. You're saying, could it work like as this new category called Shtar?
How does that answer your question?
It answers the question because it's saying that when is Mipiem an issue? Mipiem is an issue when it's not Roy Lemesira. But so long as you have a shtar that's Roy Lemesira, so it's on EPM and it'll always work. Now, just to touch on that a little bit, so going back to like the broader question of reforming the Rif, it's not clear from that Ravid, at least, I mean, I think it is pretty clear. It seems pretty clear that the Ravid is working within the world of shtar, not within the world of Eidos. It sounds like we're trying to get to this new category called shtar, it's just that it needs to be Roy Lemesira to work as a shtar. Which would, of course, like extricate it from the issue of EPM. But as a separate category, not as Eidos.
Sorry, I thought you were saying that like the Pashup Shah on the roof is that all that matters is that it's not Tachas Yidei Edom, right? And, right? As long as it's out of Edom's hand, then it's going to be, then there's going to be no Mepik Sabam issue.
I don't think that's Pashup Shah. You think that's Pashup Shah?
I thought that's what we were saying. What are we saying?
I thought the Ravid just says, it sounds like from the riff. I thought this was Pashtos. It sounds like from the riff that it just wasn't given over to the Baal Din yet. Because just like, where do you get that extra step from? That it was like, it was given to the woman and given back to the Aiden. Saying that, I think you need to add that. Meaning, well, the Ramad, it's logical based off the Gemara, like the Ramad says. I just don't know if that's like, would be like your immediate thought. I don't know, maybe we didn't say that's Pashup Shah, but I think it makes sense.
No, okay.
Yeah, but either way, I guess we'll say it's the most basic job, right? It's like a very basic job. Yeah. Okay. So, yes, yeah, so that's the second shot. In this whole chilek of Yad Edim versus Yad Baal Din, the Ravid's own shot. So we have a third shot, which is given by the Baal Amor. The Baal Amor is famously understood as relating to this idea of Das Mischayev, and we noted this. Last Chazar here that the Baal Amor explains that Shtaros work as a new category, because the way the Baal Amor says it is that Mipiem is only a problem if it's Mipik Savam, but not Mipik Savo. That if it's basically initiated with the consent and authority of the Mischayev, and it's Ksavo, so then it will be effective. And the idea is that because it becomes like a new category, we noted that the Baal Amor is a Chiddush because he seems to be relating to Hodas Baal Din Kamei Edom Dami, but we'll leave that to the side for now. Because we spoke about it, I think, a little bit last time. But the broader idea in the Baal Amor is that Ksav Yado essentially works. Now, that's not really a pshat in the riff, nor is it a pshat within this on the surface. It's not a pshat in understanding the chilek between Yad Edim and Yad Baal Din. But the Baal Amor basically offers it as his own explanation to the bigger question, which is like, how do Shtaros or Kiyum Shtaros ever work? So says the Baal Amor, we have this new category called Shtar, which works through Ksav Yado, Das Mischayev, etc. Okay, so that's like a third explanation to this bigger issue. A fourth explanation is given by the Ramban in both Mechamos and Sefer Haskos. But the whole thing is that the Ramban at least sees for himself that he's not saying a new pshat. Says the Ramban that the Ravid's pshat about Roy LeMesira, the Baal Amor's pshat about Ksav Yado, and the Rif's chilek between Yad Edim and Yad Baal Din are actually all the exact same thing. Ah. So, I think everyone's like said, like, through the transitive property, what comes out is Das Mischayev. Poof. But that really is the point. That the Ramban, at least the way he says it in Sefer Haschus, and he also might have this Lashon in Mechamos, I don't recall exactly, but the Ramban, the way he formulates it, is that if it's not Roy LeMesira, then essentially it's not a Maisa Shtar. Says the Ramban, it's just what we call a Maisa Pinkus. Maisa Pinkus Bialma. It's just notes. It's nothing. It has no halachic effect. And that he sees in the words of the Ravid as well. It's not Roy LeMesira is like a technical Tanai, and that Shtar should be Roy LeMesira. The whole definition of a Shtar is that it needs to be Roy LeMesira. And like the Baal Amor says, Das Mischayev is what makes Shtaros work. So, says the Ramban, yes, but that's what the Rif means when he says it needs to be Biyad Baal Din. So why is that? Because it goes to the core of how we explain Das Mischayev based off the different applications of Rav Chaim. That the whole point is that it's Das Mischayev, which engenders a right, a koach, and an ability for the Baal Tofes HaShtar to read a narrative with this like blank check into the Shtar. But then, of course, says the Ramban, the Baal needs to be a Tofes HaShtar. He needs to be holding it in his hands to basically have that koach and be able to read his narrative into the Shtar. So says the Ramban, again, even though the case for the Ramban and the Ravid is that it was already given over, the Shtar Kedushin was given to the woman, and then it was given back to the Edim, and the Edim now have it, not as Edim, says the Ramban, as a Shlish, it doesn't really matter. They have it as a Shlish, they have it as like Mafkidim for the woman, they're just like watching it, they're not viewed as Edim anymore, they're just holding it. But says the Ramban, it doesn't matter. That's still a chisaron. Because the whole point here is that we're trying to arrive at this new category called shtar. If it's a new category called shtar, so then it needs to mamish be biyad bala shtar, biyad bala din. And that goes back, obviously, to this much bigger question in the Rif, which is, are we dealing with Eidos that just needs to be out of the hands of the Eidim? But if it's in the hands of a Shlish, it's fine. Or no, like the Ramban is saying, and like he thinks for the Balaam or the Ravid and the Rif, it needs to be Mamish Biyad Balidim. Okay, so that's like the fourth explanation to like this whole issue. And the Ramban also directly, based off his understanding, and based off the way the Rif seems to say it also, the Ramban says that now, the way we're understanding the Gemara in Yevamos, that a Mamish has to be Biyad Baladin because of the Maisa Shtar is all about the Koach of the Baal Ashtar, Topes Baal Ashtar. So now the Ramban says that's why the Rif, at the end, makes a comparison to the Gemara in Yevamos. The Gemara in Yevamos is just talking about someone who uses notes. And the Gemara, the Gemara in Ksubis. The Gemara in Ksubis is just talking about someone who writes notes. Where the Gemara in Ksubis says that if someone writes notes and then he testifies later, so if he has his own memory, great. He could testify verbally. And if he doesn't remember, he certainly can't use the shtar to testify. Because, the piece of paper to testify, because it's just notes. It's nothing. So says the Ramban, it's the exact same thing here in Yevamos. Even though it looks like a shtar, it was written as a shtar with Das Mischayev, with consent, but it doesn't matter. If it's not in the hands of if it's not Biyad Bali Din, not Biyad Aisha, Biyad Tobis Ashtar, so it's ineffective. Das Mischayev won't help you. And this is where I'll note that that Rav Haigon has a little bit of a different understanding of the Gemara in Ksubis entirely. And it's from that discussion, there might be a Ramban with this issue, Lishitasa. Rav Haigon doesn't understand the Gemara in Ksubis talking about notes at all. Based on how he reads the Gemara, Rav Haigon just has a completely different Chiddush that comes out of the Gemara, a different case. Says Rav Haigon, the case in Ksubis is where you have a Malve and a Lobe, and they did a loan with a Kinyan Sudar. And the Gemara Rav Basar tells us that Kinyan Sudar is always Stam Lexiva Omid. You don't have to get permission, right? It's one of the only kinyanim that work this way. You don't need to get permission from the parties involved. You could just write a shtar raya for that. It's stam kinyan l'ktiba omid. So Rav Haigon is machadish that in this case in Ksubis, where they did a halva, the kinyan sudar, even if they never ended up writing the shtar, the way he reads the Gemara, the Edim can still come along 10 years later and say, oh, Lova, you still owe money. Even though there's no physical shtar. Usually we say that the Malveh is holding a shtar in his hands, and he says, Shtar Chabiyadi, my boy, and then the Loveh, of course, still owes the money, because Shtar Chabiyadi, my boy. The Rav Haigon's Mechadish said that works even without the physical presence or the physical existence ever of a shtar. And we noted that Rav Haigon is based off two Chidushim. Excuse me one second to this point. So based off two Chidushim. So one is the way you understand Kinyan Sudar, which we spoke a lot more about last year, not this year. But the idea being that Kinyan Sudar, like shtar, has a lot of overlap with the emphasis on Das Mischayev. So that's one Chiddush, that Sudar works based off Das Mischayev. And the second part of the Vrahigun's Chiddush is that Shtar Chabiyadi, my boy, is not just Pashup Shah, right? It's not just an Umdanon. It's not just this phenomenon of like, oh, I'm the Malveh, I'm holding the Shtar. If I'm holding the Shtar in my hand, so I'm a stomach, you didn't pay back yet. That's a simple understanding of Shtar Chabiyadi, my boy. It's an Umdanon. It's logical that if I'm holding the Shtar, you owe the money. But Vrahigun clearly doesn't assume that. He assumes it's more than that. Because Rav Haigon is saying that you can say Shtarcha B'yad Yimai Boi without Shtarcha, without the Shtar. So obviously, Shtarcha B'yad Yimai Boi is more than an Umdina. We developed this idea in the Rambam last year. It's a Koach. It's based off of the Das Mischayev that Midin, the Baal Toves HaShtar, has a Koach to just require the Lovet to pay back. Even though the Umdina itself may not have even been sufficient, or if it is sufficient, it's not the driving force. You just have a Din that because of holding the Shtar in your hand, you could force the Lovet to now pay back with Edim. And with those two Chidushim, so he says, he comes out with this like very radical shita that in this case, a Sudar was done, there's Das Mischayev on the table. The presence of Das Mischayev alone engenders the Malveh with a right to say Shtar Chabiyadi my boy, even without the physical Shtar. And the Ramban, quoted in the Ran there, says, what are you talking about? Of course not. The Ramban quotes the case in the Gemara of Metzia, where we say that Shtar Chabiyadi my boy, the Malveh needs to be holding the physical Shtar. Forget about it, in this case, where it wasn't even ever written. The Ramban says that based on the Gemara of Metzia, you always actually need to be holding the Shtar. The case there is where the Malveh had the Shtar and he dropped it. So we say there that if someone finds that Shtar, they shouldn't return it to the Malveh. I could throw it out. And the Ramban says clearly, Shtar Chabiyad Yimai Boy is based off the existence and it being in the hands of the Baal Shtar. And the obvious response to that question, if you want to defend your Haigon, is what does that Gemara Bava Metzia tell you? The Gemara Bava Metzia, there's just a Reyesa. Meaning, Shtar Chabiyad Yimai Boy doesn't necessarily mean that the Baal Shtar needs to be holding it in his hands. Just in that case, we have some narrative that, well, if it fell out of his pockets, then it was probably paid back already. Something like that. There's something fishy going on here if it fell out of his pocket. But that Gemara doesn't prove that Shtar Chabiyad Yimai Boy is objectively needs to be in the hands of the Yad Baal Shtar. So the Rashba says to the Ramban, what kind of a raya is that? What kind of a raya is that against the Rav Haigon? But Rosai explained that that's the Ramban, potentially, Lishitasa. That the Ramban thinks, no, the Gemara Bava Metzia, the case of Rav Haigon here, that you mamish have to have a shtar that's biyad baal shtar. Otherwise, you can't apply the dinim of shtaros. Shtar chabiyadi my boy, if you don't have a shtar, biyad baal shtar. The Gemara Bava Metzia, where the shtar fell out of his pocket, that's not because of some reyesa, that there's something fishy going on here. Simple, plain and simple for the Ramban. If the shtar is not biyad baal din, so then it's ineffective. It doesn't work as a shtar. You can't apply the dinim of shtaros. Okay, so that is the sheet of the Ramban. Yes, Zach, you have a question.
Yeah, even according to Rav Haigon, there's no point that you still have to write the shtar, whatever it is, 10 years later. I mean, it's close to, I don't know if you saw a shtar. Like, that's the case in Ksuvos, no?
No, I think the way he reads it there is that he adds in his lashon. I think he says they could either write a new shtar or they could just testify about Pet. Yeah, I think that's the lashon there. Yeah.
He breaks it up like Kosi Nodu Sol Shtar.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he says you can do either one. Yeah, that's like his big Kiddush. It's unclear how he reads into the Gemara, but yeah. Yeah.
What's the first assumption that Rav Haigon?
The first assumption of Haigon is that Sudar works through Das Mishkayev. That just the fact that they did Halva, Bikin and Sudar engenders some type of Das Mishkayev. Yeah. Okay. So that's the Ramban is a fourth explanation to this bigger issue of how Shtaros work, the Chiluk Din Yadi Edim Yad Baal Adin. And then we have the explanation of the Nesivus. I'll just say it quickly, not to go into detail so much, but the Nesivus, who is actually thinks that this is Pshat Bedas Harif, he actually thinks that this is the Beis Yosef's Pshat Bedas Harif. And without going into too much detail, the Nesivus basically just thinks the idea is very simple, that the requirement for a shtar to be Biyad Baal Adin is based off the Nesivus's bigger idea that we mentioned at the beginning and last time, that shtar works based off an Anan Sati. Again, the Anan Sadi being that, well, if it's in the hands of the Baal Ashtar, the Baal Din, so then Mistama, the Kenyan happened, and that there was Mesiras Ashtar, the Shtar was given from the Mishayev to the Baal Din, right? From the man to the woman, let's say. But it says in Asivas, of course, so then it actually has to be in the hands of the Baal Din. Again, even if it was once given over to the Baal Din, to the woman, and the Kedushin happened, doesn't matter. If you gave it back to these Edim or even Shlishim, whatever you want to call them, doesn't matter. If it's not in the hands of the Baal Din, so there's no clear and like demonstrative Anan Sadi that tells us that this narrative, this story in the Shtar ever happened. So that's like a fifth understanding as to how Shtaros work, touching on the Chilek between Yad Edim and Yad Baal Shtar. Okay. And there was also one point of the Nesivus that we said isn't 100% Lishitaso, based on how he understands the case of Karov Verachok, but I'm going to skip that now for the sake of time. Okay, so then let's just discuss the final shita on this whole sugya, and that is the shita of the Tosas Rid, primarily in Mesachas Gittin, Mesachas Baba Basra. He speaks about it in his Tshuva. And the Tosas Rid is a really fascinating shita because he kind of fuses together like all the shitos that we've spoken about so far in the sugya. Rabbeinu Tam, the Rambam, and the Rif. And to just say plainly what the sheet of the Rid is, what he actually holds when all the dust settles, is that basically everything works on a Darabanan level, it seems like. It's not 100% Mukhrach, but this is Rosenzweig's preferred understanding and preferred read. That everything works on a Darabanan level because Mipiam Vloim Piksavam is very, very expansive. It's always a problem. One can never use Eidos Piksav. In Elaim on a Diris level, a Baragada can't use Eidos Piksav. No one can use Eidos Piksav on a DRSA level. Everything works with Darabanan only. Now, within the Darabanan world, what works and what doesn't? So says the Rid, an Elaim right off the bat could do nothing. If you're not a Baragada, you're an Elaim, you can never use Eidos Piksav, can't sign off on a Shtar, nothing. Only a Baragada is Shaykh. But even for a Baragada, he has limitations. A Baragada can basically use Eidos Piksav, or maybe Shtar. He could send it into Bezdin, Or he could hand it to the Baal Din, right? That's the Rif part. Or he can hand it over to the Baal Din. But says the Rid, if a Bar Haggadah is standing in Beis Din, he cannot just like write down his Eidos or sign a Shtar or whatever and hand it to the Dayanim. So just on that last point, why not? So what's wrong with, if a Bar Haggadah really is okay on a Darabanan level to use Eidos B'Ksav or Shtar or whatever, so then why can't he stand in Beis Din and just hand it to the Dayanim? So you could either say, you could say one of two things. One way you could explain it is that the only way that any of these Darabanans work is through the Takana Darabanan of Shtar. And the whole Takana Darabanan of Shtar for the Rid is that we basically are concerned that maybe Edim on the Halva or whatever it is might pass away. They might not be around. So we want to allow a Malva to have a written down Shtar as a Raya that he is still owed money or that the Kedushin happened or whatever. So that's the Takana Darabanan of Shtar. So if that's the case, so then it's pretty obvious why if you're standing in Beis Din, you can't just hand the Eidos B'Ksav to the Dayanim, because that doesn't access the Takana Darabanan of Shtar. The whole Takana Darabanan of Shtar is that you, the Eidim, might be dead, or you might be gone. If you're standing here in Beis Din, then you need to start talking. So that's one potential explanation. Another potential explanation is that the Rid thinks on a Darabanan level, this all works through Ksiva Kedibor. And if this is working through Ksiva Kedibor, so then maybe you can say that Ksiva Kedibor has limitations. One of those limitations is that you can't utilize it when you're standing in Beis Din. Whole point of Ksiva Kedibor is that Bidyeved will allow your Ksiva to work as Dibor. But so long as you're standing in Beis Din and have the ability to speak, we're not going to give you this Bidyeved of Ksiva Kedibor. And on that latter explanation, Ksiva Kedibor, the Ritva, Gufa argues potentially for that reason. The Ritva says, no. Even the Ritva says the exact opposite, the Ritva on Makos. Even if you think that in general Eidos B'Ksav is completely ineffective, like Rashi al-Torah, if you're standing in Beis Din and you hand it to Dayanim, that's actually the one case where Rashi al-Torah will be moda, that it works. Because if you focus on Ksiva Kedibor, maybe for the Ritva, it's actually better if you're standing in Beis Din. Because there, the idea would be that Dibor is like very, very shayach. So because you're standing in Beis Din, you could easily do Dibor. So where Dibor is very, very shayach, so we'll say Ksiva Kedibor. Okay. And then just the last point on the sheet of the Rid, there's also the Rambam in Hilchos Eidos, Perek Tes, Halachiyot Aleph, also connects to that Ritva, but I'm going to skip over that for now as well for the sake of time. But just to say it quickly, everyone's like thought that the Rambam in Perek Tes, Halachiyot Aleph might be consistent with that Ritva, because he seems to have a Lashon which might imply that if you have this Girsa, he has a Lashon which might imply that if you're Roy Lahagid, so then you can use Eidos B'Ksav. So everyone's like thought that might be like the Ritva that, yeah, Roy Lahagid, meaning if you're standing in Beis Din, you can hand it into them, but otherwise it'll never work. Okay. Last point on the Rid, a nafka mina of all of this, based off the Rid's big shita, that Mipiyam Vloim Piksavim is very expansive. Nothing works on a D'oraisa level. Everything works only on a D'rabbanan level. So a big nafka mina that the Rid in Bava Basra discusses is, let's say a shtar gets destroyed or lost. Can Edom come to Beis Din and say that they saw that shtar before it was destroyed or lost? Would that be a problem of Eid Mipiyed? So we already noted last time that Tosas and Yevamos emphatically says it's fine to quote that shtar. It's not a problem of Eid Mipiyed. And Tosas gives a very fundamental explanation based off the understanding of the nature of shtar. He applies Reish Lakish. He says that it's Kenechere Yidusan Beis Din. That if you're quoting a shtar, it's not Eid Mipiyed. You're not quoting Eidim. You're quoting a new category called shtar. So that's not Eid Mipiyed. Eid Mipiyed is not even shayach when you quote a shtar. But the Rid, because he has this more limited view of shtaros more generally, that shtaros are never effective on a D'oraisa level, so then Eid Mipiyed is very shayach, because if you're just quoting a shtar, so then there isn't this new category called shtar. The only thing that you'd be quoting is something that's in the world of Eidos. That works on a D'rabbanan level maybe, but in the world of Eidos. So based off that, the Rid thinks Eid Mipiyed is shayach. Now, the Rid still has a couple of shitos there as to whether or not practically Eid Mipiyed will actually be a problem. One shita on the Rid, the first shita on the Rid that he quotes what he used to think, he thinks that it would be a problem with Eid Mipiyed, because he says, after all, like, aren't you really quoting Eidim? But then his maskana is that he goes back on that. But he goes back on that for a very technical reason. He thinks Eid Mipiyed is shayach, you're quoting Eidim. It's just that you're quoting Eidim who can't go back on their Eidos. He's mechadish that Eid Mipiyed in general is a problem of quoting Eidim who can go back on their Eidos. Right? Because if you quote someone that you spoke to on the street, so that Eid had Eidos that he doesn't have to give in, he could change. But so long as you're quoting a shtar, even if you are quoting Eidos, Eidim, whatever, you're quoting Eidim who can't go back on their Eidos because it's already written down, and we say, Reish Lakish, Kamish Nakari, do something best and dummy. And then, Memela, you're not going to violate Eid Mipiyed, but again, for a very technical reason. But broadly speaking, the big point of the Rid is that he thinks that Eid Mipiyed is Shayach because you're referring to a quotation from Eidim. Okay, and that is the sheet of the Rid. And with that, we conclude. Shkayach, guys. I know that the sugya was pretty long and it was difficult, but very important sugya. Really lays the foundation for Shtaros going forward, which obviously is going to be very important for Gittin. Specifically, we already started with Eidei Mesira and Eidei Chasima. Shkayach, guys.